Hello, everybody. An addict. My name is Kevin. This is actually a real honor because I'm kind of breaking my convention cherry. I haven't ever spoken at a convention. And even though it was kind of by default, it's still God's will, not mine. My grand sponsor called me, who's not part of the convention committee, but the programming chair had called him, mentioning that there was a couple positions that needed to be filled. And at that point, and still to this point, my heart's been pounding out of my chest. That was Tuesday night. And I'm telling my grand sponsor, who sponsors obviously my sponsor, saying, I think I need to talk to my sponsor first. He's like, I already handled it. I just got off the phone and told him to call you. So I couldn't really get out of it, if you know what I mean. So my will tried to get in the way, but God's will keeps prevailing, as it always does. And if, as long as I keep that order of things where God, self, and others, I tend to have a little bit better day inside my skin and out. And the primary purpose is really what the topic is. It's once again, no coincidences. This is definitely a God program. When it comes down to it, for me, my understanding of the primary purpose, I'm actually involved with the H&I subcommittee in my area, Ocean Gateway, who is very proud to have this convention come here every year because this is it's a great celebration of recovery. I'm also involved with our convention committee. So I guess you can say I've got some experiences of people that have been there before me and the people that are coming in with me and after me, which make the primary purpose for me when it goes back to the first meeting I came to was October 27, 1993, when I was kind of acting out on the third tradition, which I didn't realize I was. That fifth tradition kind of came into play with the group being the powerful vehicle that it is, carrying the message to the addict who still suffers, and at that time that was this guy. And still, at times, is still this guy. But I didn't have an opportunity to kind of stick around as much as I'd like to at that time. I was kind of in and out, relapse is part of my story. But certainly enough, each and every time I went to a meeting, that message was being carried in one way, shape, or form. If it was the meeting list that was being handed to me with numbers on it where I could go and, you know, find another message of recovery where I can reach out to someone that put their number on it. The conventions that are in the areas that are always going on no matter where you are, the literature that we have, the basic text, NA approved literature, I must say, is very crucial and important to my recovery. A relationship I started to build with a sponsor then that I have now, and then in turn starting to build a conscious contact with a power greater than myself, which kind of keeps that message. One of the biggest prayers I had before I came in here was, just God, help me have a clear, thorough, honest message of NA recovery. That's it. You know, that's all I could ask for. I was talking to my sponsor on the way over here, and I passed the convention entrance while I was talking to him. It's probably more nervousness than anything, but certainly enough, he said, Kevin, just go in there and just share from your heart. And that's something I can do. I tend to be a windbag, but I also tend to be one of those people that kind of go all over the place when I share something. And so I really just wanted to try and stay on point and on topic, obviously. And when I got the call Tuesday night, it couldn't have come at a better time because I was kind of going through some emotional things that are really near and dear to me, but also that are out of my control. And sometimes that surrender comes quickly, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But you wouldn't have the word surrender without the word end in it anyway. So something has to end in order for me to surrender. And when I realized, wait a minute, what am I doing here? This is something greater than me that's happening. It kind of helped me kind of refocus something that I wasn't doing for like a good 3-4 day stretch there. That, you know, that's all it takes for this addict. You know, I mean, it doesn't take weeks, doesn't take months. I remember back in the day when I was active, actively using the drug of my choice, I might have one day a month where I might have a good day and the rest were shit. But, you know, today it's almost quite the exact opposite. And it's as a direct result and of not just the primary purpose, but of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I said it was a great honor, I want to thank the convention committee. I also want to thank my grand sponsor, which in turn I spoke to the programming chair. I thanked her. I mean, this is important to me, you know. What I say could be somebody on the streets only basic text that they ever read. So sometimes words can be pretty powerful. Not that I feel that I'm all in encompassing, you know, when it comes to the message of Narcotics Anonymous, but I do know that from the experiences I have with the guys and gals that are in my network and the people I've yet to meet, I know it's important that I start to listen more instead of just hear what they're saying. And that ability to do that today is something I wasn't capable of doing before, because I wanted you to hear what I had to say before I listened to what you had to say. But it just took me sitting in a meeting in October 93, listening to people share their experience, strength, and hope, or just where they were exactly at that very moment, and then continuously trying to get loaded with the message in my head. I mean, you all know, anybody that has relapse in their story, you know what it's like to try to get high when you've been to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I mean, there's no success in it. If there's anything that always happens, it kept drawing me back, which was a blessing. And it's something that I cherish today, because I have some real important people in my life, you know, somebody I haven't seen in a while pops up, somebody you've talked to on Facebook, you know, social media, and somebody you just get a phone call when the Ravens win an effing football game. But that's an outside topic. But it just comes down to knowing that if I didn't have the connection I have with my sponsor today, if I didn't have the connection I have with my home group, if I didn't have a connection I have with the subcommittee that I'm involved with, that I'm very passionate about, and taking a meeting into a prison, you know, which is something that is not part of my story, but it certainly is part of my story today, and my story of recovery. And walking out of those doors, hearing these guys say that they're grateful, that they have, you know, something to live for, and they're looking still at 30, 40 more years in prison. I mean, that's just not something I can comprehend, but I'm starting to understand it more, because it's not about where we're at where we get those feelings. It's just the ability to have that opportunity. And it's not going to happen if we're getting loaded, because you can get loaded anywhere you are. You know, and if it's not the chemical, it's going to be something else that's going to distract us from the path that we need to stay on. Because the literature says it, you know, and I'm kind of an acronym type guy. You know, I like kind of having things, you know, the JFT. I'm not a one day at a time guy, because that kind of gives me the element that there's a tomorrow. JFT, just for today. And this is something that a girlfriend who's actually going through a pretty tough struggle with, she's not in the program, but she's NA friendly, as my grand sponsor would always say. But she gave me something, because I kind of started a new focus this year. And it's not the gals in the program that have PMS. We all do, you know, and it's PMS, you know, and she gave me this, and it's really special to me. But the acronym I've applied to PMS is physical, mental, and spiritual. And I got to apply the physical by going to the doctor, the dentist. I mean, I'm getting a stress test. I'm getting an endoscopy, you know, blood work, prostate exam. I'm at that point in my life, you know. But when it comes down to it is that if I'm not focusing on the physical, my mental has a deep impact from that. It really does. Because there's some of us in here that are struggling with outside issues, struggling hard. You know, because we're dying out there getting high. Don't get me wrong. Guys and gals aren't getting back into these rooms. I mean, there's empty chairs here today, but there's an empty chair in every meeting I like to go to, one in the center of the room for the addict who didn't make it. You know, it's not because they had better things to do. It's because they either got high and died, or they're in an institution or jail. You know, it's the three-prong, you know, I mean, J-I, you know the last one, D, jails, institutions, and death. And I'd want to die clean. I don't want to die soon. Don't get me wrong. I'm not embracing death by any stretch of the word, but I do want to die clean today. And if it wasn't for the opportunity for me to tap into that relationship, as I was saying, with my sponsor, my home group, the H&I subcommittee, convention committee, but NA as a whole, the network of guys and gals I have in my life today, that primary purpose, really when it comes down to it, is that third tradition that I was practicing that I didn't realize I was when I walked into that first meeting, the fifth tradition coming together, that was the primary purpose. It was me showing up to a group in an atmosphere of recovery that gave me the ability to maybe get that seed planted, you know, and that seed was something that I didn't do on my own. And then when I finally kind of effed around enough, and thank God I came back alive in May of 95, Cinco de Mayo, I walked into a room of recovering addicts up on Recovery Road in Manahawkin, New Jersey, and against my will was completely enveloped by a network of people that I still have most of them in my life today. I mean, this lady, Debbie S., a message that would bring any man, woman, or child to their knees, you know, was a huge part of my life at that point when I was trying to, you know, get visitation with my son, and then eventually getting more time in this addict actually got custody of his son. It's possible. The chain could be broken. If you're jobless, the job will be found. If you're homeless, you'll find a home. If you're not clean, the chain will break and you can get a day clean. And it's got to start and end with that, though. You can't do it. I think my grand sponsor says it best. You cannot stay clean. Oh my gosh, I am completely destroying it. You cannot stay clean and use successfully. I think that's basically what it comes down to. It's just one of those things, you know. I mean, it's an oxymoron when you say it like that, I guess. But when it comes down to knowing that, I have a few guys that have asked me to guide them in the steps, which is another thing that went through my mind when they asked me and when I was asked to speak here. I didn't think I had anything to offer. You know, I'm like, wow, why are you asking me? You know, and I went over exactly what my sponsor did to me with them, and it's become a small success story with a couple guys in my life. This is one guy who's just been struggling to get a day clean, calling me almost every day, sometimes 2-3 times a day, going to meetings, you know, just trying to find any avenue. But it comes down to it is he's not getting high by accident. It's a choice, you know. I know that using is an option every day I wake up. I just don't choose it. And the reason I know that is because of that primary purpose of people's experience telling me that getting high isn't going to make me successful in any way, shape, or form, especially if I'm going to try and stay on this PMS. If I'm trying to keep my physical, I'm not going to be able to work on my mental and spiritual if I'm getting loaded. It's just not possible. It's not going to happen. I got a list of things, and not that I made notes, but I guess I did, because I was actually originally asked to speak on the topic of We Do Recover, which is an acronym, WDR. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, don't mind me. I'm as sick as some, maybe not as much as others, but I am as sick as my secrets, because when the ability for me to kind of grasp the message of Narcotics Anonymous, the step work, the traditions, which the primary purpose actually comes into play in the third tradition, the fourth tradition, the fifth tradition, the sixth and seventh tradition, the tenth tradition, the 12th step. Actually, it's just completely all-encompassing to this whole process. Because if we did not have a message to carry, we wouldn't have anything to identify with. We wouldn't have a reason to continuously show up, try to be there for ourselves or others. But if I can't keep that focus on my mentality, because gratitude starts to come in at some point once you get and string a few days together. It does. I mean, I didn't plan on being grateful. It just happens. You know, I mean, I want to be grateful. I want to be happy. I want to be joyous and free. But I can't pick a day on the calendar and say, that's the day I'm going to be joyous. This is the day I'm going to feel true freedom. It just doesn't happen that way. But it does take work. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by me isolating. It's not going to happen by me having no contact with my sponsor. If I don't have my sponsor in my most recent calls on my cell phone, I'm doing something wrong. It's pure and simple. If I have a few sponsees that aren't reaching out to me, I reach out to them. You know, if I don't have the opportunity to make a meeting, I'm going to do my very best to reach, because I have that 3-5 mentality. I got to speak to 3-5 recovering addicts a day. It's just, and you know what? It's not a chore like it was in the beginning, like I thought it was. It happens. People call me. You know, I reach out to them, yes, but I get phone calls today. And it's not my dealer, who was the first one to basically put things in perspective for me. As an active addict, I learned you can't take kindness for weakness. He would always tell me, don't take my kindness for weakness. I was like, hey, no problem. You know, it was good stuff, but a small weight, if you know what I mean. You know, but he used with us. So that was me volunteering my drug dealer to deal me the drug that he was going to use with me. So that's the insanity. You know, as much as I thought I had things in line, I was getting high. I had no ability to make decisions. The decisions that I was making was behind the drug use. It wasn't behind anything that this program offers us. A conscious contact. You know, I always say that my best thinking got me here. My second best thinking keeps me here. And the only reason I know that today is because of the primary purpose. It's because of those meeting speakers that come in from out of town, you know, who might be struggling on their own, doing what they're going through, and knowing that when it comes down to the message that they share, that moment of time, they might have found some peace and freedom, and also at the same time, dishing it out. You know, it just comes down to that you can't keep the shit by keeping it. I mean, I tend to be a hoarder with certain things. Like I call my clutteriness, I'm meticulous to a certain degree, but I have collective clutter. You know, I have piles of bills. I have piles of books. I know where everything is, but I can never effing find it. And I just found, that's where I think I want to try and do this PMS mentality. And it literally started January 1st. That was my New Year's resolution. I wish it was quitting smoking, but that wasn't on the list. But I do feel if I redirect my focus, that may end up coming on the list by accident. Because I don't want to live the way I've been living, even though I've been living pretty good. It's about growing. It's about trying to continue this process. Because we can get real stagnant, we can get real comfortable in our skin, and next thing you know, it's not that, well, if you're not going forward, you're going backward, which I do feel that there's some truth to. But if you're not going forward, what is the point? I mean, we wake up in the morning, my great-grand sponsor says it really best. He thanks his God of his understanding every morning for a fresh, clean slate. You know what? I wake up, my eyes open, the sun hits them, whatever the case is. I'm thanking God for that fresh, clean slate, for the ability, not that what was going on yesterday is gone, but it gives me the ability to face it again. Because that's what it is today. It's about facing things. It's not about running. Surrender isn't quitting. It's actually standing up and making something for yourself. Because it is a self-help program. It's just, we can't do this by ourselves. We have to have that. The larger the circle, the stronger the unity mentality. And that only comes from the message that's continuously carried in each and every one of these meetings and the workshops at a convention, banquet speakers, whatever the case may be. You know, how about those spiritual breakfasts that we all tap into, you know? You meet people that you've never thought you could ever meet. Or you meet people that, again, for the upteenth time, just by accident. You know, it's just, I always say you can't write this shit. And you can't. You can't do it. It's not possible. I think about some of the reservations I had through the years and still kind of cling on to a small degree. They used to be written in Sharpie. Now they're like in light pencil. And one was my mother. My mom is my rock. My father is too. I'm not discounting him when I say that. But if I didn't have that primary purpose happening each and every day in one of these meetings, I wouldn't have had the ability to sit in these rooms and hear how other addicts have gotten through what I'm worried about, what I may face. Because if the life cycle goes the way it's supposed to, they are going to pass before me, and I'm going to have to face that reality. You know, it's acceptance. I understand the spiritual principles that will be tied into that. But it's a fear of mine. Because it comes down to anything that my disease feeds on, the common denominator is fear, 100% fear. And when I think about that, that ability to just have an understanding of another recovering addict's, I don't know, when it comes down to when they're on that path, that journey, some of them that glow when they come into a room and they have one day clean. You ever seen that? I mean, isn't that something that, maybe it's just somebody that, you know, you may think is attractive. That could be the simple part of it because that's the outward appearance. But I think there's a glow that comes from somebody because that hope, we all have hope as long as we have a breath in our lungs. That hope, once we get clean, starts to turn into a little bit of faith. And that faith just gels perfectly with trust. And once I feel that, I can see it better in other people. But if I haven't experienced it, I really don't have that ability. But coming to meetings, speaking to my sponsor, having a network in the sponsorship family, I mean, I wouldn't have the ability. I mean, they say hang with the winners. That's not to exclude anybody. It just truly isn't. And some people take that the wrong way. But if I didn't hang with a winner or two, I wouldn't have the ability to hang with everybody. Because that relationship I built with my sponsor allow me to build a relationship with the guys in my sponsorship family, which then in turn allows me to have a home group relationship, and then in turn blends into a perfect relationship with NA as a whole. Because you walk down the street, you can see someone struggling. I'm one of those guys that doesn't like giving, bums money, cash money. I like trying to offer them food because I know what I would do with the money. But it just comes down to we try to find that. I'm going to go over a couple things that I kind of did write down, but I have like a handful of these I call them zingers, the acronyms, whatever you want to call it. We've already gone over JFT, God, Self, and Others, Gratitude Under Repair, that's what I call my junk, Honesty, Open-Mindedness, and Willingness, that We Do Recover, Let It Go, Turn It Over, No Matter What, which is probably the most prolific one. Carry the Message, of course, the PMS. I did find out shortly after I came here that I've been dual diagnosed. And that dual diagnosis is something that I have and that I have the ability to give to anybody else. Just so you know, I'm warning you now. It's called that therapeutic value called TV. So I got TV, guys. Just watch out. The therapeutic value, one of us helping another. Get a home group, get a sponsor. Work the steps. Go to meetings. Happy, joyous, and free. And I'm going to finish by reading one section. It's on page 10 of the basic text. Can't believe there's only like 2 minutes left. It went a lot faster than I thought. Like I said, I'm a windbag. But it comes down to what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It's a section in your basic text. We make use of the tools that have worked for other recovering addicts who have learned in NA to live without drugs. The 12 steps are positive tools to make our recovery possible. Our primary purpose is to stay clean and carry the message to the addict who still suffers. We are united by our common problem of addiction. By meeting, talking, and helping other addicts, we are able to stay clean. The newcomer is the most important person in any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. Narcotics Anonymous has many years of experience with literally hundreds of thousands of addicts. This firsthand experience in all phases of illness and recovery is of unparalleled therapeutic value. We are here to share freely with any addict who wants to recover. I'm an addict. My name is Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin, for a great meeting.
Hey.
Our next speaker is a very good friend of mine and my sponsor, Mike R. from East of the Bay.
Addict named Mike. Hello. I did a lot of homework on this because our symbol, well, actually, the convention committee asked me to speak on our symbol, and then they changed it to our medallion, which happens to be a coin of our symbol. So, all right, you didn't mess me up too bad changing topics. No problem. I did a lot of homework because, it's interesting that the guy who wrote our symbol or designed our symbol wrote a paper on it, and I found an early copy of the paper. It was written by Jimmy Kinnon. I don't know if you guys care to look at this. I'm going to throw this right here. I'm going to read it too because it's not easy to read Jimmy's handwriting. So anyway, look, weird topic. Look, if you read the essay in the basic text, it says esoteric and occult. And I don't know if that means if you like it, you're a nerd. I love it. I love it. Look, all right, I took some notes, and I wrote on this for like 2 weeks and pared it down to what I wanted to say. I'm going to read some things out of the basic text and say what I want to say about this. The full fruit of a labor of love lives in the harvest, and that always comes in its right season. That's a slightly modified version of a telegram that Jimmy Kinnon sent to World Lake Conference 3. A guy named Joe P. got that telegram, or something very, very much like that, when they were writing the Narcotics Anonymous basic text, February 7th of 81. And actually, the telegram said, the full fruit of a labor of love lies in the harvest, and that always comes in its right season. Yours in fellowship and love, Jimmy Kinnon, 10717 Sherman Way, Sun Valley, California, 91352. And, they took that and slapped it directly into the book. They came out with the review form of the basic text, and it went directly in there, you know. And I Googled that. Do you ever read that and say, man, that shit's deep. That is some deep stuff. I'm assuming Jimmy wrote it. If anyone knows better, maybe he read it somewhere. So, anyway, if anyone knows who really wrote it, if it wasn't Jimmy, let me know. I care about all this stuff. So, look, I'm telling you a quote from Jimmy. Jimmy is credited or co-credited with the white book readings, designing our symbol, something we now call the original logo that showed up in 96 from his archives. We Do Recover, Recovery and Relapse, the IP Another Look, the R Symbol essay, the gratitude prayer, the quote in the introduction, and having the WSO in his home. And he's somehow related to the first newsletter and an attendance at the first area service in 73, as well as some of the earliest audio recordings and video recordings. He helped restart NA, was involved before we had a structure. And I don't know if we were his dream or something more. I like to think we're something more than he could have ever dreamed. And his writings inspired us to look up a bunch of words. If you read any of that stuff, you'll find, like, most of the basic text is written at the fifth grade level so everybody can get the message. You know, our primary purpose is to carry the message. You don't have to be a super great intellectual. In fact, anybody can get our message. In fact, I haven't met anybody too dumb to get the Narcotics Anonymous message, but I have met a bunch of people too smart, and they think themselves right out the door. So I'm going to read the essay that I threw down there that's now missing. Did it fall on the floor? Did somebody get it? Oh, check it out. I'll read it to you all. It says, our monogram symbol. Simplicity is the keynote of our symbol. In this, it at once follows the fellowship. We could find all parts of esoteric and occult meanings in the simple outlines, but true simplicity and easily understood meanings and relationships were foremost in mind when the symbol was set on paper. In a way, it is our outline structure from the individual to the total fellowship. Although much can be seen, there are unseen supports that are basic and without which nothing could stand. The outer circle denotes simply a universal and total program that has room within for all manifestations of a totally recovered person. Wholeness and full life is the circle. Within we see the square, four sides denoting the main aspects of growth in the individual and the fellowship. The sides are named self, society, service, God, all clearly related to the needs and aims of the addict seeking recovery and the purpose of the fellowship seeking to make recovery available to all. There is an unseen part within the square without which nothing will stand or grow. The four named above are sides of a pyramid whose base is goodwill. The greater the goodwill in area, the higher the pyramid whose point is freedom. Goodwill is best exemplified in doing the right things for the right reasons. When this supports and motivates both the individual and the fellowship, we are fully free and whole. And then in red pen, it's written, fully whole and wholly free. And the fourth page, there's something about the diagram. Unseen parts, important, nevertheless. Base is goodwill, pyramid, side, self, society, service, God, broad base, high point, freedom. Look, I wrote out the definitions for some of these things because I know maybe some of you guys are sitting here. I said, if you're esoteric, can you not hear me?
No.
Esoteric, occult. I said, hey, you know, you got to be a nerd. I'll tell you what they mean anyway. Esoteric means understood by or meant for only the select few and who have special knowledge or interest. And occult means beyond the range of ordinary knowledge or understanding, mysterious, not apparent on mere inspection, but discoverable by experimentation. So, you know, in order to really understand our symbol, you have to experience it. And only those of us that have a special interest are going to bother to look and read that essay. Or, you know, maybe you get an anniversary, someone hands you the coin, maybe they don't explain anything to you. It's just the coin. It's got the Roman numeral. Man, this is for 1 year. It's got the Roman numeral one kind of a thing. You know, and then there's the back, and everyone, you know, chants that at the meetings. But, you know, maybe there's a lot more to the symbol. I've looked at our symbol, and it's the only picture in the basic text. If you open up the very beginning of the book, there's two pictures there. That's when I got my first basic text. The first thing I did was look through for pictures, because that's what you do, you know. I'm used to comic books. It's like all I read in active addiction, comic books. So, you know, has anyone here ever used this symbol as a 10th step inventory tool, a tool for your inventory? Did you want to find balance? Use our symbol as an inventory tool with the areas of self, God, society, and service as things you can put into. And if you do it evenly, I found a lot of balance. I found balance and growth. I found freedom. One thing I noticed by watching our fellowship and our literature over time is the fourth edition basic text, if you look at it, and the picture that's in that, it says it's different. The R symbol is different between the fourth and the fifth edition. It used to say goodwill, one word, no space in the middle. And I think that's the spiritual principle. The spiritual principle of love, the foundation of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, compassion for another addict, someone looking for help, I'm here to help you. Welcome. I'm glad I was here to be able to make the coffee so you could get a hot cup and feel welcome. And they changed it to good space will. There's a space in the middle. If you read your intro, I'm sure it's like that in sixth edition too. I looked at that. That's the first thing I looked at when we talked about having a sixth edition. I got one in my hands and said, did they fix this problem that I have with the book? You know, same thing. So the essay was unchanged. The diagram was modified. I think good space will means like the act of benevolent wanting, not the same as love in our fellowship. So, you know, one thing I looked at with this design of our symbol, you know, there's the circle, there's the diamond, there's the sides. If you make if in your mind you imagine a pyramid in a circle and this kind of thing, you know, what are the lines in between? And to me, you know, if you have God and self, one of the lines in the side of the 3D pyramid, that's spirituality. You know, the state of quality being dedicated to God, religion or spiritual things or values. God and society is compassion and empathy. Self and service, that's another angle. Hey, if you read another look, that's one of the things Jimmy wrote. Put yourself into service without seeking reward. It'll bring about rewards and changes you can't predict or control. And I showed up here and people said, hey, we meet once a month and show up at this meeting and we're going to talk about, you know, having our dances. We're going to talk about doing H&I. And I showed up trying to help out because people said, oh, well, everybody in NA is going to these. You got to go and see what's going on. And when I saw these people working together, you know, it blew my mind. You know, we do our own service. We carry the message together. And all of our services are all done on a voluntary basis. And when I got to hold the people that were looking for the message, it changed my life. I started to care about people, which is so different from me when I ended up in NA because I only cared about getting high. Now, I'd like to say I cared about myself, but I didn't care about myself. I only cared about one thing, and that's the mission. And there's no fun there. You know, I'm not even really alive. Last meeting I shared out, I said the Narcotics Anonymous was like a zombie movie in reverse. It's like you walk in here like the shuffling dead. When I walked in here, the shuffling dead, I was almost dead. I just didn't know to lay down, and you guys brought me back to life. You told me, let us love you until you can learn to love yourself. And look, I mean, I didn't know how to live. Before I got clean, I didn't know how to hold a job, have a girlfriend, have relationships, take care of myself. And after I got clean, I didn't know how to hold a job, have relationships, you know. And by showing, you know, I joined a home group and someone said, you got to be here every week, Mike. Every week. You can't have a home group and not be there every week. That's what your home group is. It's the meeting you're going to be at every week. In my home group, I got to give some people some hell because, seriously, someone's celebrating an anniversary next town down and you skip your home group? What the hell? You know, there's only one time you should miss your home group, and that's for a funeral. Yours. And that's what I got told. So, look, society and service, that's us, the whole service structure, a place to carry the message, perform a function to help somebody else. Whether you're the phone line guide, literature mule, author, webmaster, H&I deliverer, activities person, PR person, outreach, convention committee, or someone whose service supports these things, you're involved, or maybe you're committed. Consider the ham and egg sandwich. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. Look, if you look at the sides of our service symbol, God and service, they're on opposite sides. The only place they meet is at the point. That's gratitude. The only place that self and society meets at the point. That's fellowship. Where do you find this freedom? At the point, in gratitude and in fellowship. So look, I've looked at this a couple times because, you know, if you get the medallion, it doesn't say universal program anywhere on it. But the essay says there's room for manifestations, all manifestations of the recovering addict. You know, in unity and anonymity. Unity is the practical application of the traditions, and anonymity is the spiritual foundation. It's how we practice. No one special. We believe this is going to work for everybody. No, I don't want your autograph. My home group's mission is to carry this to everyone, and you can have a life beyond everything you ever dreamed possible. I do. So, I know I just talked about our symbol, right? I haven't told you anything about myself. I'm from east of the Bay Area. My clean date's February 17th, 1987. And look, I mean, it's because of Narcotics Anonymous that I was able to figure out what my clean date was and keep it, hold on to it, you know, and think about it like, oh, this is risky behavior. If I do this, maybe I'll end up using it. I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, we got social media and stuff. And so there's people, my friends list that I was in high school and junior high with, people I used with. And I seen this girl on there that I wanted to be involved with. Early clean time, I ran into her and was like, man, I need to chase this girl down and struggle her. I need to struggle this girl to the ground, you know. And I prayed because I knew that if I spent any time with her, I was going to use, you know, my story would be totally different than what it is. And she got removed, you know, from the scene. Her story changed. She disappeared. Bam. You know, and it's like, well, thank you, God, because I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. I've been here. I've been watching you. I've seen what you shared with me. I knew what was going to happen. And I think about being here at CMP. I've been to 23 of these 24 conventions that have been here at this convention center. Chesapeake Potomac Convention. There was a Free State one held here in 93. I was there. And you know, I was here on convention Thursday when I heard that Kurt Cobain had died, staying 19 years ago, right? It didn't just happen. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. I rolled up here 22 years ago, and there was a 3x4 foot marquee out front, a white marquee with black letters, you know, the kind they put up there. And now there's like a digital marquee out there, and all it said was, "Welcome CPR." And it is. It's a life-saving course, right? So anyway, you know, what does our symbol have to do with the medallion? Medallion's emblazoned on our symbol. And look, this is my opinion, this part here that I'm going to tell you. NA was not a standalone program until the basic text was being written. And a lot of places, maybe not until after that. So, you know, and probably maybe a lot of you or NA members only go only to Narcotics Anonymous. This is something that happened in the fellowship after I got clean, was the Purist movement happened. And before then, a lot of people would never have thought about staying clean and going only to NA because there weren't enough NA meetings to get and stay clean. They'd say stuff like, man, there's not enough people that even can tell you how to work the steps, you know. And for me, I identify with the addict. I really didn't care for what was going on anywhere else. You know, the last AA meeting I went to, I went there to tell them, we started NA every night of the week, and you don't have to come here anymore if you're really an addict. Come join us, you know, and that was why I went. But that was what I was doing, you know. It's like, you guys don't have to lie to yourself anymore, you know. I try to be nice about it. Well, look, the medallion. Before the medallion, we use these to celebrate clean time. Before the medallion, there was a little 1x1 inch pendant. And I've heard some guys from Georgia, they got them in the 70s to celebrate their clean time. And it said on the front, clean and sober for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. It's sold by the Say-Do Company, which if you can get a Say-Do Company catalog, it's got Jimmy Kinnon's address right on there. You could buy them for 1 to 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Looks like a tombstone, according to these guys that are my friends from Atlanta. Little pendant thing, black pendant. And then we had key tags probably in like about 80. So anyway, you can get them on necklace, key rings, or any prayer on one side. Man, these things are cool. Try to get one. Man, I want one. It'd be nice to have one, don't you think? I collect stuff. I collect stuff like you, bro. Kevin, thank you. The first medallions were made by a company that made the first AA medallions in 1973 with the Raised Circle Center. They were coined or minted by a company out of Minneapolis. Do you guys care about this part? I'm going to tell you. lady who was on a WSC in 1982 or 81, I'm not sure. Her name was KB. KB and last name started with C. The first I ever heard, she went to this company and said, make me a medallion. So the first I ever heard of these medallions dates back to February 82. Someone bought some of these medallions at the first Mid-South Regional Convention, which was in Atlanta. Presumably bought the medallion from KB or someone that was distributing them for her. Now, somebody else has shown me older ones, I think, that look exactly like an AA medallion, but instead of AA, that looks like the horseshoe on the back, it says NA. Now, seriously, I've seen a picture of one of these. If you got one you're looking to sell, Mike R., look me up. I would like to have one of them. A picture's good, right? I'm not sure if the ones that KB was selling were like that, or if they were like the NA medallion. Look, the fellowship voted in 85 to use the medallion, the symbol that we started using from like 85 to 92, the classic medallion. So they were out in 1 to 40 years. There's three-month medallions, six-month medallion, nine-month medallions, and 18-month medallions. And maybe the 18-month, there's some that just say 18, and there's some that say 18 months. And they're rare as hen's teeth, right? So I got a six-month one I bought off somebody. Bob Stonebook says that at 85 conference, when we voted to use this medallion design, the lady who owned the design sold it for a dollar. And that was like a $250,000 donation to NA by the time he left in 1990. So, man, it's something we wanted. It made us real. You know what I mean? Like, we got something we can celebrate with, something you can get for all your friends, you know? There were changes to the medallion design, presumably to take the production to another company and save on the bottom line, make more money, right? That's what you do when you're a corporation. Anyway, the Ray Circle Center turned out to be owned by the company that was making the medallion, so they changed the design to a diamond in the middle so they could take it somewhere else. Medallion was changed to Diamond Center. Maybe there are three or four transparent changes to this medallion. Antique bronze, diamond-centered medallion. We changed the nickel plated around 98. Started using Arabic numbers on September 1st of 05. Changed the current yellow Roman medallion around fall of 2008. I think people hated the Arabic number medallion. I don't know what you guys like about the Romans, but you do. I know the World Service Office was selling solid silver medallions at the World Convention in September 87. Not sure if they're available before then, but at least back then. And then there were some solid gold medallions. I bet it's worth like $900 worth of gold in one of those things now. Gold. There's gold. So look, vendors have them plated in gold, bi-plate, enamel painted, epoxy coated. NAWS sells them. Vendors make key rings, necklaces, book covers, checkbook covers, stamps, wall plaques, clocks, all for displaying your stuff. Be proud of your clean time. Look, I think it's about our tradition of encouraging each other to get and stay clean, you know, to get your next medallion. You know, my anniversary was an emotional time. You know, my first couple anniversaries, it was the anniversary of a lot of bad shit happening all at once. And, you know, anniversary time's a time to reflect. And you know, someone wants to give me a gift. I rolled up on my four-year anniversary and four people had coins for me because they love me. And they wanted me to know that they got me this coin. And it's like, man, that's great. Thank you so much. You know, probably now most of you get your medallion from your sponsor. Maybe you get it from your home group, you know. And did they get you a fancy one? Or did they get you one that was passed on from generation to generation? Man, it might mean something to you. It might touch you deeply, you know. I know my five-year anniversary, they got me the silver medallion. And I was sponsoring a guy. At one point, I sponsored a guy from Sweden. And he just started, you know, he was looking for help on the internet, wanted speaker tapes. I mailed him tapes. He started calling me every Monday or Tuesday, something like that. And then I was over there. And then, you know, he got 5 years clean after a couple years of me being a sponsor. And I gave him my five-year silver medallion these guys gave me at midnight. It kept me up till midnight to give me my medallion, you know. And I gave it to him, and he's passed it around. Like, everyone in his home group has had this medallion. Like, 10 people in Sweden have this coin, and it's like, man, you know, we do a lot of shit with our stuff, you know, and it means something to all of them. I run into people, and they've been like, I got your medallion. And it's like, it's your medallion. It's our medallion, you know. It is ours, and I'm so glad you have. I'm glad you're staying clean, you know? Because that's after being here and watching my life come together and really be alive. You know, I told you I didn't have any relationship skills. You know, today I'm married, and I have custody of all my children. All of them live in my house. You know, and yeah, okay, so I got a couple baby mamas, and I'm not collecting any more. Thank you. Three of them is enough, and I'm still a winner. And they all live in my house, and and I'm employable. You know, it's a miracle. I can hold a job, and I show up, and look, probably the best advice I ever heard in NA is don't quit your job until you get another job. You know, and I pray, and I turn my will and my life over to God's care, and say, what do you want me to do with my life? And I say, man, am I still on the Eastern Shore? What am I doing? And I run, and I put applications out and ask God, what's His will for me and my life? And I'm coming up on 20 years of being on the Eastern Shore in a place where it's like, man, what am I doing there? I don't know if you should clap for that. I like being there. Look, seriously, a lot of stuff. I got 5 minutes left. A lot of stuff going on Eastern Shore. I feel like I live in the country, and sometimes it's like, why don't I live in civilization? Do you know what I mean? But, you know, since being there and being involved and talking about, like, what's my great idea for recovery? What should we do as a Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship? You know, one day the special events committee had been driven into the ground, had like $50 left in the account, and I joined as the special events chair, and I said, the first event we're going to do is we're going to have Day of the Dinosaurs. Someone to give me a speaker tape from Day of the Dinosaurs in California from like 91. They got 6 speakers or 10 speakers, all had 20 years clean. I said, we want to hear our message through experience. That's Narcotics Anonymous. We want to know, how did you get that? How did you get there? I said, now we got people here on the East Coast with enough time, we can have this, you know? So the first one we had, you know, 250 people showed up, and I know that next month we're having our 10th annual one, turning into an annual thing. That wasn't really my vision for it, but, you know, having an event that's like, you know, a convention quality, 6 speakers, 6 main speakers in an afternoon, it's blown my mind a couple times, you know? And people will drive everywhere for Narcotics Anonymous. People with clean time, I thought, you know, when I first started looking at people with double-digit clean time, I thought maybe they were, like, famous and shit. Like, I'd like to follow them around. Like, I'd like to be like you. I'd like to work the steps with you. And then you ask them, hey, will you come and share it at our event? And they're like, heck yeah, no one's asking me for handouts. You know, they're just like, I'm grateful to come and share. And that's been common across the board. Like, all the things I thought about NA aren't always true. You might look around and see things and think that that's the truth. But there's a lot going on here in Narcotics Anonymous, and the way some of us have dedicated our lives to carrying the message and living the message, you know, and having this freedom, you know, I never want to use again. And because of Narcotics Anonymous, I never have to use again against my will, you know. So, like, I'm trying to work this program to the best of my ability. I turn my will and my life over to God's care and say, you know, where do you want me to be? Is it Easton? Is that where it is? Anyway, last winter I woke up and I learned a little bit about our history, and I know you know that already. And the first convention east of the Rockies was called the East Coast Convention, and it existed from 80 to 92, and it folded because probably about 3 of the last 4 had financial problems. They signed contracts they shouldn't have signed. People took the money. They ordered the wrong merchandise and stuff, and it's been started back up. And the mission of the convention is, any profits from the convention go and buy basic texts, and the basic texts that they buy go to prisons and jails, only jails. And last year, the convention was in Pittsburgh. They raised 3,444 basic texts. 98 went to 21 different East Coast regions, and 1,400 of them ended up in Pittsburgh. And they gave them away to jail. That's where society has thrown us away. We get thrown away to jail. I have friends that are in jail, and they're not coming out, you know. And I woke up, and I said to my wife, Sarah, I think we need to see if we can hold this East Coast Convention. And I was talking to a friend who wanted to help, and we did some work and found out that we could have it in Chestertown at Washington College. And Chestertown's not that far from here. It's less than an hour and a half drive from Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Baltimore. And that's in June. We went to Pittsburgh. We won the bid. We're having the convention. And you know, I don't know, you know, when you get up and you say, man, I'm a recovering addict today, how am I going to carry the message? How am I going to make a difference so that people don't have to die like I was dying before I ended up in NA? You know? And you know, east of the Bay and Bay Area. We're co-hosting the convention, so you can find out about it at probably any Google search engine. We got T-shirts we'll be selling here Sunday morning. I'm a big commercial for it, right? And we're excited because, look, you know, it's our chance to have the East Coast Convention. Last time it was in Maryland was 91. The time before that was in 85. Baltimore area had it. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I think that as far as conventions go, like, I've been to home group after home group, you know, meetings. And when, you know, when it's 10, you know, when it's 10 people and stuff, we grab onto each other. You know what I mean? Nobody gets away. You're all coming with me to the video game arcade after the meeting. We're all getting pizza after the meeting. You're welcome. In fact, I want you to come with us, you know. How can I, you know, compel you to come and hang out with us? Because you might make it if you hang out with us. And you know, my first convention, I had almost a year clean, and I saw like 3,000 addicts at 3rd Connecticut in 1988, right outside New York City. So there are thousands of people rolled up to this Connecticut convention. Not that many conventions in 88. You know, to see our numbers, one of the things it talks about in our symbol, you know, the broader the base, the higher the point in freedom. As we grow in numbers and variety, and our diversity increases by the amount of different people that make it up in here, it gives us the ability to carry the message better than we ever had and make it so that really people can buy into the idea that, you know, I could make it. You know, I could be a recovering addict in Narcotics Anonymous, get a sponsor, work the steps. And I'm excited about us having this convention. It's another chance to carry the message. You know, you always find people at their first convention. Anyway, you know, our medallion. I think it's a big deal to us. You know, I'm here. I'm trying to get the next medallion. You know, I want to stay clean today. And when I make it around to February 17th, I want the next medallion, you know. And it's something to strive for. It's something to you know, you can live in that world or whatever. It's just stuff, though, man. Seriously, you know, the big deal is our relationships, you and me. You know, I'll do anything to encourage you to make it another day. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you guys for having me at CMP27. Right.
Thanks to Mike and Kevin for a great workshop. And this thing says that apparently we can open it up for people who want to share since we have a couple minutes left. It says, before we open this meeting up, to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the podium one at a time. Also, keep in mind that there may be others who want to share. So we have like 15 minutes if anyone else wants to talk about either of the topics. Could just sit here for 15 minutes in silent meditation. Yeah. Let's close the meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers. God, grant us serenity to accept things we cannot change, courage to change things we can. Thank you.
Keep coming back.
I've been to a couple parents for breakfast together. And she's amazing. You know what? Funny story about that. When she spoke, I spoke to her about 15, 20 minutes before she spoke at the spiritual breakfast. And we were talking about reservations, the mother and father faculty. And she and I started talking. She's just broke down right in front of me. And then when she got up to the podium, she started to talk about it a little bit. She brought up her dad. And she looked right over at me. She's like, I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, yeah.
Great late. I got her CD, man.
Dude, she's speaking.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I mean, I was a director.
Talking about the great form?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to put a question up in January for every service. And I relaxed. Certain things do.
Of course.
It certainly has, you know, an impact. Look, there's, I'm not saying remove a meeting. I mean, there's a lot of passion on both sides. I know there's a lot of history. And one of the guys in my sponsorship family, Danny Martino. I mean, he's actually, to be actually 100% honest, he's right outside of the sponsorship family. Al Pease, sponsor. Look at that, man. Well, we're all spokes, dude. Spokes in that way.
Yeah,
we're all linked. 100%.
Thank you both.
Oh, thank you, honey. Like your hat.
Can you get his stuff back?
Yeah, it's right there.
That's small world. Yeah, but you know what? No coincidences, right?
Right. Yeah, no, there's a couple of gray areas, gray meetings in our region, and really hasn't really, I would think there's a lot of conflict.